T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the time.
You're listening to the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show, episode 21. Hello, and Kate Hartley here, and welcome to another episode of the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show. Thank you so very, very much for tuning in. This is the show where I interview guests whose stories will inspire you to take the steps you need to create the life you want and educate you with tips and strategies to help you overcome your roadblocks. My guests all have one thing in common, and that is the passion to consistently take action, to follow their dreams and achieve their goals in life. On this show, you also hear what's working and not working in people's lives, the challenges they face, and more importantly, how they overcome those challenges, using their resourcefulness to get to where they want to be. Before I get into the details of my holistic guest today, remember that you'll be able to listen to the replay of this interview on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/flourishtherapy.co.uk, and also on the Coach on Fire Facebook page, which is facebook.com/coachonfireradio. Now, back to today's episode. I can't wait to introduce you to my guest today. Her name is Sheila Partridge. And Sheila is a holistic life coach, author, vortex healing practitioner, and Sivananda yoga teacher. She's passionate about helping people transform their lives for the better. And I'm so looking forward to introducing Sheila to you. So without further ado, Sheila, welcome to the Flourish and Thrive Radio Show. How are you today?
I am so super excited, and I'm just so happy to be on the program today.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing your time with us. And I've got to say, you're coming across really, really well. You must have a good quality mic at your end.
Well, it's just the normal little microphone thing that you use with a phone or anything. So I'm pleased it's working.
You do. You sound fantastic. You're crystal clear. So, Sheila, to get us started today, do you want to share with us a little bit about what set you off on the journey that you've embarked upon, and what's your big why?
Well, I guess my journey started, the journey that I'm actually on now started probably in 2009.
Yeah.
I had a major breakup with my then partner, and a few months before then I had lost my job in Dubai, and that in itself was quite a big deal for me. And then my partner and I broke up, and things just fell apart as I kind of knew it, life as I knew it. And I then spent some months being heartbroken and just not connecting with anything, really, myself in particular. And I came across a healing modality called vortex energy healing. And I heard about it, and less than 2 weeks later, I went to my first class. And things really started to shift for me right then. And so that was what started really my journey of self-discovery, and I guess taking responsibility for how I felt back then and how I feel now. And since then, I've been learning, practicing, trying to share with other people how important it is to really get to know yourself, and also take responsibility, but get to know yourself and what really matters to you, what's important to you, and see things from different perspectives. Because sometimes we're so focused on looking at things in one way only, we're missing out on a whole load of other things. So
sounds that it sounds like that vortex healing was just what you needed at that time as well, Sheila.
It absolutely was.
I'm fascinated to understand more about vortex healing because I'm a Reiki practitioner, and I suppose is vortex energy healing using a similar sort of energy? Are you using sort of universal energy, or how does that work?
It is similar. It's a divine energy, and it has two paths. One of the paths is the healing modality, and the other path is an awakening path. So it works mainly on our conditioning. So if I look at myself and how I was, everything I did was almost, I guess, in a way, on autopilot. And that's our conditioning from family, society, female, male, parent, child, whatever. And so vortex kind of looks at all those layers that are our conditioning and in a way breaks them down and helps with the consciousness. So I've worked a lot with my own consciousness, and in my work, I'm always working with people and their consciousness so that they become more aware. They're more conscious of their actions and what they're doing. So, yeah.
And can you describe the difference between what the healing and the awakening is in that therapy?
Well, I guess the healing side of it is that it's working on, it's a tool, an energy tool that I can use on myself and other people on, you know, physical issues or mental issues or similar ways that you would do possibly with the Reiki. And on the awakening path, it's about how I'm engaging with life and how my clients, if I'm working with them, how they're engaging with life. So it's how we bridge, I guess, divinity or awareness into someone else's consciousness.
Gosh, that's that sounds so deep and all encompassing. And tell me, with something like that, because I think, you know, talking from a Reiki background, some people understand what Reiki is, so they know what they're coming for. Some people might book him for, say, something like a psychotherapeutic session. They just know that they've got problems, but they're not entirely sure what those problems stem from and how to help resolve those problems. With something like vortex healing, what's your typical client? You know, what sort of troubles do they come with, and how do they know that that's the sort of therapy that they need?
Well, I guess most people don't actually know modalities. Mm-hmm. So when someone comes to you, they've either been recommended or they read something, or you happen to engage with them on, I've met quite a few of my clients that way, where you just are talking to them about something else, matter-of-factly, and then they say, oh, what do you do? And you say, well, I'm a vortex energy practitioner. It's the way that I work is I've struggled a little bit, I'll be honest, with calling myself a healer. Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of loaded. When you say that you're a healer, if people are not also a Reiki person or any other kind of modality practitioner, people don't want to be healed.
Yes.
Because, you know, that puts them off. They're not broken. They don't need healing. So I've tended to shy away a little bit from calling myself a healer, particularly for that reason. And so I've kind of gone about it by talking more about maybe situations that people might be experiencing. So if people are going through a grieving process or a divorce or can't really find that job that they want, or finding a partner, something like this, then you're a little bit more approachable or more human to people that are not in the kind of healing, kind of spiritual modality thing. And so that's kind of how I go about it. And then the divine, I don't have any power, or it's really the way the divine is working through me.
Yes. Yeah. You're a channel for that energy to work.
Exactly. And I've combined it a bit with coaching, because for me, the way that the vortex energy healing works through me is very often through conversation.
Okay.
I have a gift, if you will, for either reading between lines if it's written, or if I'm with somebody, I can read body language or read what's being said, and I can help people to maybe express themselves or really vocalize what's really going on for them.
I see. So people come to you with a problem, but they're not necessarily coming specifically for energy or you to see you as a vortex energy practitioner. But then when they're there, if they're open to that sort of therapy, then that's when you can go in and help them along that sort of platform.
Exactly. I can do the hands-on healing, and I do that. But for me, that's not how it's worked out for me. It tends to be more vocal or distant stuff, or people become open to it. But it's that's just how it works. Or somebody comes to you with a disagreement or not getting along with somebody close to them. Mm. When you speak to them, you find out it's a whole different issue that they really want to be talking about or dealing with.
So I was going to say, with somebody, say they've come, or you know, in a similar position as to you were, your relationship had broken down and you're grieving the end of that relationship and you're feeling particularly lost in life. Because obviously a lot of us go through that at various stages of our lives. What sort of benefit would the vortex energy healing have for that individual if they were open to it?
I believe that with the vortex energy healing, it enables you to see on a conscious level for yourself that lots of things are just an illusion. Mm-hmm. Lots of things are just a story. Lots of things are just temporary. One of the biggest shifts that I had was when I finally realized that I was the common denominator in my divorce, in my breakup, and I was the main actress in it. And when it finally hit me that everything was a story that I was in, it kind of gave me the freedom to be able to breathe, first of all, and to know that everything can change, everything can transform, things can get better if I want them to.
Yeah.
And so once you realize that everything is kind of interacting with you, you're always the main person, it just, for me, it's a freeing, it's just something so freeing.
I think you're so right. It's so empowering, because some of my clients I see, and they don't realize that actually they have the power to change how they allow things, or how they let things affect them. You know, you might not be able to change the fact that you've got divorced, but you have so much power over how you let the various elements of the divorce process and a marriage breakdown, and the grief and the loss and the pain and the anger and the hurt and the various other negative emotions that go along with that. You have total control. If you want, you make that choice, not necessarily control, but you have that choice as to how you let those negative and positive emotions affect you.
Absolutely. And that's a really great example, because when, you know, I've been divorced, I've had another long-term relationship breakdown. And the thing about long-term relationships, marriages, is that you've invested a lot of time and energy. And with marriage, you've kind of bought into this idea of what marriage is supposed to be. It's supposed to last forever and ever. That, you know, that's for most of us, that's certainly how we've been brought up. And when things don't work out that way, we are all hurt. You know, I was hurt. I grieved for my divorce for many, many years afterwards. Even if other people didn't know it, it was something that I had to deal with personally and silently. But something that was never up for discussion or anything else was the relationship I have with my ex-husband. Mm. We have a great friendship now.
Oh, it's fantastic to hear.
You know, when I'm in the UK, that's where I go and stay in my old house.
Oh.
You know, I'm a great friend to my ex-husband, and for friends of mine that have had divorces, I've always tried to say to them that, you know, you have a choice how your relationship with this person continues. Now, my ex-husband and I never had any children, but for a lot of people I know, they do have children. And the scenarios that people get into with children is that they're pulled from, you know, one end to the other. People are suffering at the beginning, and you need to give some time and some space, but then you need to get over it and, you know, have harmonious relationships, because at one point you love that person. And that, for me, love just doesn't go away. It's
a good one. Your ex-husband must be, I'm assuming, you know, he's got quite a high level of emotional intelligence, because, you know, sometimes you hear of people and there's one party who's, you know, is completely taking charge of their emotions and their responsibilities, and then the other half just refuses to, point blank, you know, whether that's anger or jealousy, or still they're still hurting, and so they cannot extricate themselves from that sort of negativity that they're living in. You know, did your husband get, or ex-husband, sorry, go through any therapy himself, or is he just an emotionally intelligent individual?
I was going to make a wise joke about men, but I'll save it. But I think that, you know, for him, I know that he wrote to me every day or something during our separation. Mm. And for him, I guess that was some kind of therapy. And I think you do need time. I think you need time to get over. Like I said, people feel hurt. People feel betrayed. Mm. There's many, many emotions that come in. But one of the people within that relationship has got to try and keep, in a way, what's important, you know, and other family members also play a part in that.
Yes.
You know, if there's a divorce, it isn't about taking sides. It's just about allowing people to do what they need to do in a safe space. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's so right. But it's so hard, I think, for a lot of people to manage, because everybody automatically jumps on one side of the fence, whether they're pro or against the person asking for the divorce, or whether it's a mutual agreement. You know, it's such a shame when sides do get taken, because it just actually makes the whole divorce process even more arduous to navigate. And it's difficult enough as it is without having other people stirring the pot as well.
Absolutely. I think that also it's possible that, you know, I personally believe in, like, past lives and that kind of thing. And it's possible maybe we've already played something out in a previous life, and so this life we had different karma together. So you know, I don't know.
Yeah, but it's funny how that works, though, isn't it? When you look into all of that, I must admit, I have a very similar belief system to yourself, and it's just like wacky. It's just like, oh my gosh, that person might have been my child once.
But I think as a human being, I am very passionate about trying to be part of this solution and harmony. I mean, yes. I you know, absolutely, I don't get on with everyone, but I do try and be like a peacemaker.
And yes,
with at the same time trying to allow people to be individuals. Because if people can be who they are, then and listening, you know,
yeah,
if we don't listen, then we never know what someone else is actually trying to say. So
absolutely. And I suppose your yoga background must help with to support your vortex energy practitioner work with the breathing. And does that include meditation, the Sivananda yoga?
Yes, the Sivananda yoga.
Oh, Sivananda, sorry.
Sivananda yoga is a Hatha form of yoga, and it works with the breath. And it's much more, it's not high energy. It's not, you know, about the strength. It's more about the breath. It's about balancing the body. It's the meditation is important. It's that kind of yoga. And I got into that, you know, I had practiced Bikram yoga. I have a lot of time for all formats of yoga because it's all yoga. But Sivananda yoga is the training I have. And it, when I started yoga breathing, I had bronchitis as a child. And then in my 20s, I was given an inhaler. I didn't really have asthma, but I had this inhaler in my handbag as a safety thing. And then I started yoga breathing. And my allergies to cat hair and duck feather pillows, and I mean, going to hotels and things, we had to call ahead because I couldn't sleep on pillows that had duck feathers in them. And if you, the better quality hotels tend to have a lot of pillows that have got feathers and, you know, goose down and this and that. And I would be, you know, awkward Annie having to have everything moved. And when I started the pranayama, the yoga breathing, I somehow all of that disappeared.
Wow. Oh, gosh, that's fascinating, isn't it? Do you think it's because it opened up the sort of the lower extremity of your lungs, or the deeper extremity of your lungs, that a lot of us don't tend to use?
Absolutely. I think it definitely opened up everything. It allowed me to breathe. It allowed me to breathe much more deeply. And I think on a physical level as well, I must have had things going on in my lungs, and again, we're back to the story now that I know better. Obviously, that story was no more required by me to be sniffing and, yes, you know, not being able to breathe and etc. So that story ended.
Gosh, that's fascinating. So anybody out there with an allergy, you should perhaps take up Sivananda yoga and improve your breathing.
Well, it doesn't have to be Sivananda yoga. It's any kind of, you know, the Kundalini yoga, any kind of yoga that practices the breathing, the yoga breathing. There's lots of, you know, yoga schools that are big into the yoga breathing as well. I'm very much about, you know, not limiting it to one thing. My training is Sivananda, but lots of schools do, you know, the breathing.
Well, that sounds like something that I suppose people with allergies really ought to look into, because, I mean, taking up yoga is a whole lot better than staying on inhalers and suffering allergies for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. And being the odd one out, you know, because when you have allergies, you're kind of always having to be different.
Yes. Yeah.
And not necessarily in a positive way.
No.
But, you know, so yeah, I would highly recommend pranayama, yoga breathing.
Pranayama, prana, who, say that again, prana?
Pranayama is pranayama. Is the term for yoga breathing. Is this?
You can probably tell I'm not a yogi. I practice Thai yoga massage, but yoga is one of those things that I've not done an awful lot of. I love my Reiki for the spiritual side, and I love meditating when I make the time, and I really should do it more often. But yoga is one of those things that I would love to have the time to actually explore more, because I've never spoken to anybody who has not had something extremely positive to say about it. And just that, the relaxation and the meditative side of yoga, I just think, you know, I think people think, oh, it's all about learning how to stretch. But, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of it is learning that deep meditative breathing.
Yes, it's about taking the time. For me, yoga has been about taking the time to become aware of your body, because we're not really aware of our body, the left side and the right side. Why is one side more flexible than the other? It's about taking the time to know your own body. And then you develop the breath work, and that allows for some stillness, some quietness in the mind and on a physical level as well, because all the physical asanas, the postures of yoga, are to enable you to sit still for meditation. So it just allows you to become still for a moment.
Cool, I'm feeling relaxed just talking to you about it. Sheila, we're going to stop for just a few moments to play your music that you've chosen, which is just, oh, it's hypnotically beautiful. I've never heard it before, and when I downloaded it for you, I was blown away with it. And all I have read online about it is just such beautiful comments. So we'll take a break for a few minutes now to listen to, it's called The Angels Are Listening, and it's sung by Snatam Kaur at the Suthnorm Fest. And we'll play it for a few minutes now and just relax.
Great.
The angels are listening.
So that's The Angels Are Listening by Snatam Kaur. Such a pretty song, and it continues for a bit longer, so I'm going to just let it play on in the background because it's just so beautiful. Snatam Kaur is an American singer, songwriter and author. She performs New Age Indian devotional music and tours the world as a peace activist. She has taught and shared Nayad Yoga and Kundalini Yoga and meditation through her recorded CDs, concerts and workshops for the past 20 years as a part of her commitment to give people tools for a daily experience of inner peace. So, Sheila, what made you choose this song in particular?
I have a little bit of a joke to tell you.
Go for it!
Well, you had asked what was, you know, a favorite song, and truth be told, I don't have a favorite song. I like lots of music and I love to dance. I don't have a great singing voice, but I will sing around the house. And for many, many years now, I tend to listen to devotional music. It's what will help me get out if I'm not feeling great and I'm quite low. I find that devotional music lifts me up without it also adding to my existing drama. And a lot of it is in Sanskrit. And so when I was about to choose a song, I thought, well, you know, what am I going to choose? So a lot of the music is much, much longer. And I do like Snatam Kaur. And I love this song because it's about listening. It's about, you know, listening to angels, listening to God, listening to yourself. It's just about listening. And the melody and her voice, just wonderful, I think, for everyone. And I was saying to my mom, I said, oh, mom, you know, I needed to choose a song. And my mom goes, She said, did you choose anything from this century? It's like, come on, mom. Because my mom is always telling me about modern music. And she'll say, oh, have you heard this? Have you heard this? And I'll go, no, no, no. So it was just when she said, is it from this century? I just had to laugh. It was funny.
It's from this century, but it's about Sanskrit.
Exactly. So I said it was short. I said it was 13 minutes long, which is... for me, it's short. A lot of the stuff I listen to can be much, much, much longer.
But, beautiful.
That's what I listen to feel more peaceful, or to, like I said, to lift me up of whatever it is, if I'm not feeling great, or when I am feeling great, or when I'm cooking and stuff.
I think it's absolutely beautiful. I love it so much. I'll put a link to the YouTube clip that we've downloaded this from. So if anybody wants to listen to it again, they can do, because it's unless you know Snatam Kaur, you're probably going to have trouble finding her online. Although the song you might well find if you did the search for Listening with the Angels. Is that what it's called?
Yes, I think yes is what it's called.
Listening with the Angels. But I will put a link on the Facebook page so that people can find it. Now, you're also the co-author of a book. Would you like to tell us more about that, Sheila?
Well... I found myself earlier this year being asked if I would like to write a chapter in a book that some other amazing people were writing in. And the book is called Your Shift Matters. Mm-hmm. And Breakdown to Breakthrough.
Yeah.
And I believe I'm chapter 20. I think I am chapter 23. I don't know why I got confused thinking I was chapter 21, but actually
23 is a good number. That's my birthday date, the 23rd.
Exactly, 23rd, which is tomorrow. What's really interesting is that I was told I've been told by many people that I'm going to write, and the last few years writing hasn't particularly come that easily for me. And so when I was asked in June this year, would you like to be part of this project, I found myself saying yes.
How exciting.
I know. In June, I was in the middle of a coaching program, but I found myself, yeah, I can do it. And when I sat down to write the chapter, things just flowed. I knew what story I was going to tell about an experience I've had. It just came so easily. And last month, I was in the U.S. for various things, and I was on a Vortex Energy Healing workshop, and
we were
working with what is real and what is reality. And a breakdown came up for me. I woke up one morning and breakdown, and I thought, wow, this book was called Your Shift Matters, Breakdown to Breakthrough. And I always avoided, in the months leading up to the book coming up, I avoided using breakdown to breakthrough, because somehow it didn't gel with me, didn't resonate with me. Your shift matters. I thought, great. I have to say something. It really matters to me and possibly to other people that read it, but breakdown to breakthrough? I didn't have a breakdown. And during this course, things were coming up, and it suddenly dawned on me that actually I did have a breakdown. And breakdown to me was not something that was a positive. It had too many negative connotations. Losing control, wouldn't happen to someone like me, not something that possibly my family would appreciate or my friends. It just was not a good thing. And so I kind of avoided actually admitting that I'd had some kind of breakdown. And that's been just a new realization for me in the last few weeks, that back in 2009, when I had my breakup, I actually had a breakdown in those months before I started Vortex Energy Healing. And in a way, it's quite a... It feels good to be able to say it, because my chapter talks about the breakdown of that relationship and what I went through, how I felt, and how I got out of it. And so I don't know.
No, I was going to say that ended up as a best-selling book on Amazon as well. Was that right?
It did, in the spirituality section, I believe. There are just 25 amazing stories in there, each chapter by... Because I read the whole book a few weeks back, and I couldn't put the book down, and I was fortunate that I was able to read it in a day. And I just feel so proud that I was able to write in a book that when I actually picked it up, I could read the whole thing. It was a book that I didn't want to put down.
Congratulations. How wonderful to be in a book that you're so proud of as well.
Yeah.
And I suppose also, if people wanted to buy it, is it inspiring stories? Does it document how people have managed to overcome their challenges and difficulties? Or, what is the overriding flavour of the book, as it were?
It's about challenges and how people have overcome them.
Fantastic.
So there's various, I've written about relationship. People have written about illnesses and how they've overcome them, about family conflicts, about quite a few different subjects. But basically, it's how they came through it, what they did, and where they are today.
And books like that are just so vital, because people love stories. I think a story just tells so much more than being talked to. If you can share your story, you can learn so much more from it. And I suppose also, probably every chapter in that book details something that many of us have faced in our lives at some point. And to see how other people have managed to cope with those difficulties and those challenges is just so inspiring.
Absolutely. And you never, when I started to write, I said that everything just I knew what I was going to write about. It was easy to write. And that was all true. But it also brought up the memories.
Mm.
And I actually cried when I read my own chapter. I cried again. So although on the one hand I've got over a lot of my chapter and that past relationship, it's still, when I read it, still touched me, you know, in places that are, you know, very personal to me.
So it was healing at the same time as inspiring others.
Exactly. Exactly. So actually, you almost write for yourself. But I think for me, I wrote what was very special to me, what was meaningful to me. And yeah.
And a colourful chapter came out of it, no doubt. I think when you do something that is so close to your heart, you write with emotion and passion and purpose. And that's what makes it so readable.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
So.
And so we're approaching our last sort of 9 minutes of the show, Sheila. So can you share with us what would be your top three insights that you would like the Flourish and Thrive listeners to walk away with?
One of the things for me would be that taking responsibility mm-hmm. for your happiness, because I had to wake up to that, to realize that, you know, if I want happiness, to feel happy on a, I wouldn't say constant basis, but, you know, majority of the time, that was just for me to be responsible for that. There isn't a thing, there isn't a person. Yeah, people make you feel happy and places make you feel good, but really, you really have to know those things and be responsible for them.
Yes.
Regardless of what else is happening for other people, or whether you have a job or you don't have a job, you just have to be responsible for your happiness. Mm. Getting clear with what really matters to you.
Yeah.
Because in our busy lives, we're doing so much, we're running around, we're stressed out, and we're not always clear with what really matters. And so if there's a person that really matters to you, you need to be investing time with that person, those people. You know, don't spend your time doing things that aren't particularly important to you. So you really need to get clear on what's important. People, jobs, things, it doesn't matter what it is, but you just need to be clear what those things are, and do whatever it takes to make sure that either they know that they're important to you, or that if it's a job or your career or your business, that you're putting your energy there. And to live, the most important is to live in the present. To be
yes.
here, to be now. Because any suffering that has happened to me is when I've either tried to think about the past, how good things were in the past, because I've tended to remember the good things in the past, but maybe not always remembered the things that weren't so great.
Mm-hmm.
And then it causes me suffering and unhappiness. And then thinking about too far forward in the future. I have no idea what's going to happen in the future. I don't control it. I cannot control it. And so the only thing I can do is be here right now, 100%.
And I think, you know, that's such a simple concept, but it's so difficult to do. You know, it really does. I think if you're somebody like you who has learned how to breathe and to relax and to meditate and just to become aware of your mind and your body and the sensations running through, you know, whether those sensations are physical or whether they're coming from an emotional point of view. But to live in the present is so hard, because we're all thinking, oh, I've got to do this next, and I've got to do that, and if I don't do this, then that's not going to happen. Or, you know, we can be pining for the good times of the past. And it's so difficult to live in the present, but it's so good for our brains when we manage to achieve that.
Yes, and you really hit the nail on the head there. Because if you're breathing, you're present.
Yes.
I know it sounds silly, but if you're holding your breath, you're not really present. You just have to be engaged with whatever it is, you know. If I'm talking to you now and to whoever happens to be listening, that's what I'm doing. I'm not looking at my phone. I'm not doing anything. So whatever it is that you're doing, be with it. That's all it means. It just means that you're being present with that.
And I love the fact, well, your other 2 points as well. I do wholly believe that happiness is down to us. In fact, one of my neighbours has just recently lost her husband, who they've been married for 60 years, and bless her, it's her birthday today. But she was talking about, obviously, the grieving process, but the fact that she really owns her, not happiness at the moment, because obviously she's grieving her husband, but she's owning her emotions and realizing that she can manage by herself. She's feeling really grateful for the support that she's been shown so far. But she really owned her, what's going to happen to her and how she's going to manage. And I really admired her for saying that, because, you know, when you're a coach or when you're in this therapeutic business, that's what you learn and that's how you live your life. But for somebody who's been married to a very successful corporate player and, you know, lost him very recently, to just sit there and take complete ownership of what she's going through. And I just really admired her for that. I thought that was a real quality that often you don't see in people, because it is very difficult to expect others to make us happy. And, you know, I think that's the other thing. When people come out of a relationship, it's really important to spend time on your own, but, you know, by yourself, so you actually get to know who you are, because so many people jump from one relationship to another, whether it's, you know, they have a slight overlap or whether it's literally, you know, a matter of a month or sometimes days. And you don't get chance to get to know who you are, and, you know, you don't get chance to feel what it's like when you might be bored, or you really have to pick up your own pieces and get on with life. But I think that's so beneficial for all of us to spend some time alone.
Yes, because that's when you're really able to engage with yourself and we avoid so much. We avoid our feelings because we're conditioned. We're taught that, you know, we're not necessarily honest with ourselves. We avoid our own truths. And the way we do that is to go and into another relationship or get involved in someone else's business, or just to avoid feeling grief, feeling the things that we think aren't really, you know, that we can't deal with it. We think we can't deal with things when actually we can.
We can, yeah.
We can. We can all deal with it.
So, Sheila, we're about up on our time. So could you just remind us how we can connect with you, please?
I would love it if people could email me. And my email address is writeme@sheilapartridge.life.
Yep.
And yes, that would be
the best way.
The best way.
Okay. And what I'll do is I'll make sure that the links to you are up in the show notes so that people can find those either on my Flourish Therapy page or on the Coach on Fire Facebook page. People can get hold of you that way. So, Sheila, I appreciate you coming on the show today and to educating us about healing and meditation and breathing and relaxation and how to lead a holistic lifestyle.
Well, Thank you for having me on the program.
It's been a pleasure. Do you know what? I feel so relaxed after talking to you as well.
That's great.
I do. You've really given me some lovely, relaxing energy through the ether. And to all our listeners, thank you so much for being here. This was episode 21 of the Flourish and Thrive radio show with me, Kate Hartley of flourishtherapy.co.uk. Sheila Partridge was my inspiring guest, and you can find more about Sheila at sheilapartridge.life. And until next time, goodbye from us both. And again, thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.